So we're going to look at that passage in John. So please keep your pages open there. We'll be referring to that passage a few times. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence with us, not only here as we gather together, but in our lives day by day. And Lord, would you work in our hearts and give us the courage to be obedient to what your will is tonight. Help us to discern that will. Help us to follow that will through, knowing that you are with us, equipping us, strengthening us, and calling us into your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was about 10 years old, I wasn't doing very well at school, and I got put down a couple of classes at school. And some of my good friends who I'd left behind in these other classes, I was about 10 years old, as I said, had a surprise one day when they heard from the other classroom when I was in, was the teacher shouting in a loud voice, "Willett, get off that desk!" And they were more surprised by the response, "No!" Sometimes we don't get the response we expect. I wonder if you've had different responses to the prayers that you've prayed. Sometimes those prayers are yes, sometimes those prayers are no, and sometimes those prayers are not yet. How do you react when you get those different answers to prayer? They can be challenging, can't they? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit today from our passage in John. We're going to look at that story at the end of that passage with the healing of the official's son. Because it's an amazing story, and I think it has a lot to teach us about our walk with Jesus day by day. Just to set a little bit of context, you remember a couple of weeks ago we were looking at the wedding in Cana where Jesus did that amazing miracle, that famous one of turning water into wine. And then at the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3, he's headed down to Jerusalem and he's overthrown the tables at the temple. And he's also declared that he would throw down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, pointing towards his death and resurrection. And now he's come back up. He's gone north again, back up to Cana, and he's come back again where he meets this official whose son is dying. And it's the second sign. Do you remember John has 7 signs throughout the gospel which are there to show that Jesus is the Son of God, that we might believe. And there's 7 sayings as well that are sort of patterned throughout the book. So the passage we're looking at tonight with the official son is about this second sign and showing that Jesus is Lord even over our physical well-being. And we're going to see tonight that there is a progression. Here we are. That when you look at the official, there's a progression to his faith, and that he's also persevering in his faith, and that there is power in faith. So those are the things we're going to look at. So when we look at verse 47, we can see this official, here he is. Jesus has come back up from Jerusalem, from overthrowing the tables at the temple, and has come back up to Cana. And this official has heard these rumors. Maybe he was even at the wedding, we don't know. But he was certainly from that region. Or very close by, and heard these rumors about Jesus performing that miracle. So, of course, the logical thing you would do if your son was sick, as any of us would do, is that you would take them to the miracle worker, wouldn't you? You would take them there. And this is what the official is doing. Look at verse 47 there. He says, "When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death." He's gone to Jesus in the hope, his faith. He's seeking Jesus to see whether he will heal his son. But there's this progression, because the next thing he does is he sort of turns into this believing faith. Look at verse 49. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Even though Jesus has said, "No, I'm not going to come and do that just now," if you look just before that, he's taking his time, Jesus, here. But the official doesn't give up. And he starts saying, "No, please, come to my house in Capernaum and come and heal my son." He doesn't give up. So he's beginning to believe even more in Jesus. And then in verse 53, it turns into a living faith. So once Jesus has healed the son and the man is heading back to his hometown of Capernaum, his servants come out and tell him that his son has been healed. And then it says there in verse 53 that the whole household end up putting their faith in Jesus. So this official has heard rumors about Jesus. He's gone to Jesus. He's then sought Jesus and become into a more of a living faith, and then into a really vibrant living faith when the servants come and tell him the great news about his son being healed. I wonder, where are you on your journey of faith? Are you at the very beginning? Have you heard rumours about Jesus? Have you maybe walked for a little while, and perhaps you kind of believe, but it still needs to get a bit real. It still needs to make sense in your heart or in your mind. Or are you in a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus? Where are you on your journey of faith? The next thing we're going to look at is that whatever stage of journey of faith you're on, there's something about perseverance and faith. And this passage teaches us a lot about that. And there's loads of resonances here between the healing of the official's son and at the wedding at Cana. We won't look at all these up, but there seems to be this kind of sequence. Now, this isn't a magic formula, but I think John is just kind of laying things out like bookends about something about this obedience and persistence in faith. So if you look at the wedding in Cana, Mary, if you remember, asked Jesus, look, they've run out of wine. What are we going to do? That's the request. Jesus responds, woman, now's not the time for me. But she persists. She tells the servants, go and do whatever he tells you. The servants are obedient, and then the miracle, the water gets turned into wine. And the same pattern is interesting is happening here in the healing of the official's son. There's the request, as we saw, didn't we? Then Jesus says in verse 48, he says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. But then the official says, sir, come down. He's persistent, isn't he, again? He says, come to my house. And then he's obedient. He takes Jesus at his word, he says, in verse 50. And then the miracle happens, as we know, when the servants come and tell him. So this request, this rebuff from Jesus, and then this persistence, and then this obedience, believing, taking Jesus at his word, and then the miracle comes. It's just an interesting pattern in the scriptures there. Like I said, it's not a formula, but there's something in there that's key. Mary was still prepared to be persistent and to be obedient to Jesus. And the official was prepared to be persistent and to be obedient. He took Jesus at his word. He trusted Jesus. So whatever stage of faith you're at, whether that's at the very beginning, in the middle, or near the end, whether it's baby steps at the moment or a vibrant living faith, the challenge for us is to be persistent and obedient and keep trusting Jesus, keep taking him at his word. And this persistent theme is emphasized by the geography here. So the official lived about 20, 30 miles away. And I get the impression that he was going to keep on when he says, come down to my house, come and heal my son, even for the second time of asking. I get the impression that he was going to harass Jesus all the way down to Capernaum, about 30 miles away. So this issue of persistence is really important. And that's why I started with the illustration. Sometimes we're surprised by the responses we get. How do you deal with unanswered prayer? Really challenging, isn't it? When prayers go unanswered, or perhaps answered in the way that we don't expect. Well, can I encourage you? We all live with unanswered prayer at some stage in our journey of faith. But we keep on persevering, even though it's tough. Maybe particularly because it's tough, we persevere. And there's nothing new here. Way back in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestles with God physically all night long. And he won't let go of God until God blesses him. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And in the end, God does bless him, and he actually breaks his hip in the process. Jacob breaks his hip. I wonder, are you wrestling with God at the moment with some of the unanswered prayers or prayers not being answered as you would expect them? It's a lifelong journey, and it keeps on going. Same with Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians. He says here, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, and three times I pleaded to the Lord to take it away from me, but he said no. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Jacob wouldn't let go of God until he was blessed. And Paul kept on persevering, even though the answer was no. Even Jesus, kept on going when the answer was no. Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, meaning I don't want to go to the cross, I don't want to die on the cross. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is longing there not to go to the cross for obvious reasons. But God says, no, my will is that you go to the cross. Jesus is obedient and follows God's will, even though the answer to that prayer was no. So there's something, isn't there? Are we bold enough to pray, not my will, but your will be done? Persevering, but being obedient, just as Paul was, just as Jesus was, just as Jacob was, just as the official was. Perseverance and obedience are essential disciplines for our journey of faith, whether you're at the very beginning or whether you're looking forward to glory. But when it's tough, keep on persevering, remain obedient, pray your will be done. And in each case, the blessing will come. Not necessary as you might imagine, but it will come. I encourage you, pray to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. And that leads us on. Because when we get to this wrestling with God, we understand something more about his power. And there's something about faith here that unlocks the resources of heaven. You know, the official didn't give up with God, did he? He kept on persevering. And then Jesus turns and says, your son has been healed. And he's been begging him, hasn't he? Verse 47, he begs Jesus, please, Lord, come and heal my son. And then after that rebuff, as we saw, he says again, please come down and heal my son in verse 49. And his faith, he keeps on persisting with Jesus. He doesn't give up. And Jesus responds, verse 50, your son will live. He's responding somehow to the official's faith. And it's the same pattern throughout the New Testament. So remember the woman suffering from bleeding, and she reaches out and touches Jesus' cloak. What does he turn around and say to her? Your faith has healed you. Same with blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Jesus says, what can I do for you? He says, I want to see. What does he turn around? He ends up seeing, he heals him. And what's the answer? Your faith has healed you. Or put it in the negative. Matthew 13, where Jesus goes back to his hometown, just as he has here. It may even be part of the same story in John 4. But in Matthew 13, Jesus is unable to perform miracles. Why? Because there is a lack of faith. He's able to perform some miracles, but not as many as he would have hoped. That lack of faith, he's unable to do that. And there's a parallel with our passage, as I said, in verse 44. It says, doesn't it, he's back in his hometown and a prophet without honour. He's back in his hometown. But verse 48, he says, doesn't he, here, unless you see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. There's something going on there about this issue about faith and releasing the resources of heaven. Now, I don't know how this works. None of us does. I don't know the divine mechanism behind how much faith you have and then God answers. I don't think it really works like that. It's not a transactional thing in that way. But something about faith causes Jesus to respond. That I do know, because that's what Scripture shows us. Faith unlocks the resources of heaven. And that's really challenging when we go through the difficult times, when we're wrestling with unanswered prayer. But that's where we must return to that issue of being persistent in obedience, no matter what that answer is. That's the true test of faith. It's within that persistence and obedience that God moves with power. Faith unlocks the resources of heaven, sometimes way beyond our understanding and expectations. Look at verse 53. God does more than heal just the official's son. Here it says in verse 53, the father realized that it was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. That's when the son was healed. And so all of his household believed. So God did far more than answer that guy's prayer just to heal his son. The entire household came to a living faith, came to an eternal healing in Jesus. Way, way beyond what that official was expecting in that time. It's also amazing, isn't it, that Jesus just says the word. He's 30 miles away from this son. And the son knew nothing about it and still ends up being healed. Isn't that amazing? Normally we expect lots of Jesus to be in the vicinity, doesn't he? He has to be kind of close by to these healings. But no, he just, yeah, your faith, you know, your son will live. Shouldn't that expand the expectation around our prayer life? God's not bound by our boundaries or our expectations. He can blow away whatever we could possibly pray for, do far more than we could ever possibly imagine. So as we're persisting and as we're being obedient, let's not shrink in our expectation of what God can do. Tempting as that is, because it's hard to keep not having the answer to that prayer. But rather go the other way, expand, and allow God to keep on blowing your mind with prayer. So if you're wrestling with unanswered prayer, with whether that's healing, or whether that's over for loved ones, or it's a yearning for a change in your circumstances, let me encourage you, don't give up. Be persistent, keep being obedient, and trust in God's power. Now this is a really interesting one, and it's one I find really hard. Because we tend to think when prayer isn't answered, that we must kind of muster up some more faith. If I just have a bit more faith, then God will heal me. But again, that's not true. That's not the way it works. It's not about the greatness of our faith, but about faith in the greatness of our God. I'll say that again. It's not about the greatness of our faith. It's not our own strength. But it's about faith in the greatness of God, about what He can do. And when we don't get those answers to prayer, we can beat ourselves up, can't we? Why does He heal some and not others? I can't answer that question for you. None of us can. But don't beat yourself up about saying, well, I need to have more faith and then so and so will happen. That's to go back to what Jesus is saying in verse 48. Unless you see miracles and signs and wonders, you will never believe. We don't believe on the basis of healings and of signs and miracles. Faith goes deeper than that. See, if we say, God, you do this miracle and then I'll believe, that is to dictate the terms of the relationship. That's not the way it works. Our relationship with God is not reciprocal. Jesus is the Savior of the world, not me. God is the creator of the world, not me. Time and eternity are in God's hands, not mine. And so by saying, do the miracle and then I'll believe, is to dictate the terms of that relationship. It's not a reciprocal relationship. But the fact that God can heal is never in question. But when and how is for His determining, not ours. I found this a really helpful quote by Bruce Milne. It says, His power is real, His will is love, and His love is wise. His power is real, His will is love, and His love is wise. And so when we're wrestling with these really difficult, life-changing, difficult wrestling decisions, and I know this isn't trite, there's nothing trite about this at all, this is real life, dirty faith that's hard, and it is hard, I know it's hard, and we all have it, we all wrestle with it at some point. But we must be prepared within this, with God's power being real, having the faith that He can do, because He can, because He's God. Trusting that His actions are always loving, even when it feels hard. And that His love will always have amazing outcomes, even in ways, just like the official's mind was blown away, that not only was his son healed, but his entire household was saved that day. That God's actions will be wise, even if we can't see it at the time. That's what faith is about. It's about trusting Him in that. And being prepared for the answers. Yes is an answer to prayer. And we celebrate that as we did tonight with Rob. It's wonderful. And it does encourage us. Of course it does. But it's not the basis of why we pray or having faith. No is an answer to prayer. Paul had a no. Jesus had a no. It's not the answer we always like. But sometimes no is the answer we get. And not yet is also an answer to prayer. So don't give up. If it's no and it's not yet, keep going, keep praying, keep coming, and we will pray with you. We'll keep on seeking. But here is the real truth. In his power is real, His will is love, His love is wise, and Jesus is with you in the yes, and Jesus is with you in the no, and Jesus is with you in the not yet. And that's when things become really powerful. Because then we begin to trust Him for the outcome. See, we don't pursue the power, we don't pursue the miracles. We pursue the one who is powerful. We pursue the healer, not the healing. And this is really mind-blowing, really challenged by this one. Remember, his power is real, his will is love, and his love is wise. Paul's thorn in his flesh, we don't know what that was, particularly it might have been a metaphor for something else. But God used him by his all-sufficient grace to change the world in spite of that prayer. The answer to that prayer was, no, I'm not going to take that thorn away, but I am going to use you to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Greatest missionary that ever lived. Thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of people have been saved because Paul managed to stick with God wrestling through the night with him. Three times he prayed and three times the answer came back, no. But God's power wasn't restricted by that answer, no. Same with Jesus. Longing for that cup to be taken away, not to go to the cross. But imagine if God had said, yeah, okay, no worries, don't worry. Don't go to the cross. Where would that leave us? No, God's power was in the no of that prayer. And Jesus was obedient and persistent with God in spite of that answer. And that was the cross he was facing. God's wisdom in his love for the world meant Jesus going to the cross. His wisdom meant that through the cross, the world would be saved, which is why Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the amazing power in the answer to that prayer, which was a no, goes way beyond what we could ever imagine. Just like the official, not only was his son healed, but the whole family came to a living faith. And that's the deepest healing anyone can ever know. Why? Because it's not a temporary healing, it's an eternal healing. It's a healing that will last forever. It's a healing that will go on forever. In perfect peace, love, joy, without war or sickness or famine, but a life with God. So if you're wrestling with unanswered prayer, don't give up, but trust in Jesus, his death and his resurrection, because that's the greatest power you will ever know, and it's a power that will be with you for eternity. So be persistent, be prepared for a yes, and give thanks. That's great, we love that. If it's a no, then look for God's power within that no. And if it's a not yet, then just keep on praying. Harass Jesus all the way to Capernaum if you have to. He doesn't mind, but he's looking for that faith. The power of faith is to trust Jesus with whatever answer you get. Whether that's a yes, a no, or a not yet. So can I encourage you, don't give up, but allow him. Allow his power to move through you, even in the times of no, because he might be doing stuff that's way beyond your comprehension. I'm going to leave it there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for anyone who is really wrestling with unanswered prayer. And Father, would you help us to just open our hearts and minds to what you want to do? Whatever that reason is, and Lord, help us to trust you in that no. That just like with Jesus, you were doing far more through the cross than we could ever imagine. And we thank you for Jesus' obedience in that no. To trust you all the way through to the point of pain and death like we could never imagine. Knowing that out of that, your power rose him to new life again. To bring us hope in our journey of faith. So would you encourage us, Lord, and even if it's a no, just to keep on trusting in you, knowing that when we trust in your life, your death, your resurrection, we are saved and we are set free for eternity, even if life gets harder in this world. We have that glory awaiting us because of you not taking that cup away for Jesus and him being obedient to picking up that cup and going through the cross for us. Lord, we thank you when you do answer prayer and how that encourages us. And if the answer is not yet, then please give us that perseverance. Help us as a community to build one another up, to strengthen one another, to keep on going in our faith, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us in the yes, you are with us in the no, and you're with us in the not yet. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.